1 Corinthians 13, very familiar scripture. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And that is probably how the word charity should have been rendered here. And in the scriptures, it much is mentioned about love. There are different types of love, and the same word is used, and the Greek had many more shades of definitions and many more words to describe something that we do in English. But the love that is mentioned here in this chapter is the greatest of loves. It's called agape, and it's unconditional. And he begins this chapter by saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and though I have faith to move mountains, and though I give everything that I have to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, if I have not love, it accomplishes nothing, and I have become as nothing. Now, I want you to know something. I mentioned the other night I had a wonderful subject. I've got a wonderful subject today as well. And I guess many times I lean on my subject. And the subject that I have this morning is once again Jesus Christ. Now, we talk about this chapter and how we ought to be with one another and how we ought to have that kind of love. Brothers and sisters, it's very difficult for us to have that kind of love, never to the extent that our Lord does. It's impossible in this body that we are living to exhibit or to show that kind of love to its magnitude or to its greatest. I have seen people where they said that they loved me, but it seemed to be conditional on one thing or the other. And if I was doing what they wanted done, then they loved me. And you may have experienced this too. If I wasn't doing what they wanted, then their love didn't show. That's not the type of love we're talking about here. The type of love we're talking about here, no matter what's going on, no matter what you've done or what you're doing, God loves you. And it is unconditional. You can't buy God's love. You already have God's love. You don't have to earn God's love. It's already there. And I'm going to talk about one today that can fulfill this chapter. I'm talking about one today that can move mountains, that gave his life over or his body over even to be burned, that gave all that he had for the poor and needy of this world. And because that he has this magnitude of love, he has become as everything. Now, it says that this love suffereth long. That means that a person is long on temper. Sometimes I'm short on temper. But not my Lord. We talked about the other night the agonies that he endured there on Calvary. We talked about the other night, and our brother Sal also talked about what he endured while on this earth. And he says that he was as a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. He wasn't feeling anger during those times and just holding it back. He was feeling love during those times. And it's hard for us to imagine being treated so cruelly, how that a person could just have this overflowing love coming from them for the person that is treating us like this. And Peter asked him one time, says, "Lord, how often should we forgive someone that has wronged us?" 7 times. Peter thought that was a bunch. He thought he was going to impress our Lord by even insinuating that he could forgive someone 7 times that had wronged him. And our Lord said, "Nay, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. To me, that's 490 times. Now, someone does something to me, and I'll try my best to forgive them. If they ask for forgiveness, they do it again, and I'll try a little less hard to forgive them. The third and fourth time, I've just about had it. That's about how long my patience would be." But it says that our Lord suffereth long. And I know how he has been with me in my own life. And I know that he has approached me and interacted with me, even in my sin, even in my worst days, and how patient he is with me. He has never given up on me when I no doubt many people would. He has been patient toward me and long-suffering toward me. So I know to the extent of my own life just how long-suffering he could be. It says that this type of love is kind. One day our Lord was walking down the road, and there were a great number of, I believe, mothers and their children around, and those children were dancing around him, and they wanted to interact with him. And some of the disciples were telling him to get back, that they were too busy for such things, I suppose. And our Lord sat down and set those little children up in his lap. No doubt he caressed their hair and hugged them. our Lord was kind. And I think about when John, he called himself the beloved, one of his disciples, laid his head upon my Savior's breast to feel the liberty to do that. Now, if I was sitting beside Brother Bird over there, if I felt the need to lay my head on his chest, I would probably refrain. I probably wouldn't feel the liberty to do that. But there was something about our Lord that John felt completely at home. He felt completely at liberty to lay his head upon our Lord's chest. He knew that who he was approaching, and he knew what kind of person that he was. And he felt comfortable doing that. No doubt he had seen things like that before out of our Lord, and just how kind and gentle and meek that he was. I would have so loved to have been there for just a little while at least, to walk upon this earth with my Lord, to lean upon him and to lean hard as those brethren did in that day. Just feast on his kindness and feast on his goodness. Overwhelmed those around him. And I mentioned the other night, there was nothing outwardly that that man should be attracted to him. They were attracted to his kindness and gentleness and love that just exude his whole countenance. Love envieth not. He did not come to this world for what man has. And after that he had fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came to him to tempt him. And he set him up on an exceeding high mountain. He showed him the kingdoms of all the earth. He says, if you'll just bow down before me, they're yours. You can have them. And then our Lord said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He did not have ulterior motives when he come to this earth. He came and was born in the family of very, very, I believe, poor people. He died with nothing but what was on his back, and they cast lots for that. He came into this world with nothing. He left in this world with nothing. He sought nothing of what a man might give him. He sought nothing whatsoever of what this world might give him. He was not enticed by what kings had. He was not enticed of the palaces of this world. It meant nothing whatsoever to him. A love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. One of the best examples I can find of that, when they were there in the upper room, they were observing the Passover and in the Lord's Supper. And our Lord grabbed a basin with water and a towel, and he bowed down there on the floor at Peter's feet. No doubt those men's feet were filthy. And the day that they were living, they wore the sandals, and everything wasn't paved. Everything wasn't sewed down in fescue. It was just a dusty, dry, dirty place. He took those feet and he set them down in that basin, and he began to wash Peter's feet. I'm not going to go into what all that Peter said unto him. But he washed them till they were clean. I think he washed them completely. And to think that a God of creation, a God of heaven, of which he was master and king, a God of all of the universe, would bow down to a man upon this earth None of you going to make it. And he went around the room. He washed all their feet. Can you imagine? I've never been to a foot washing. They used to do it a lot. I believe probably in our churches. It's not the ordinance, but they did it. I believe that it would be unbelievable for my brother to bow down before me and wash my feet. I believe that it would be an humbling, touching experience. But for my Lord, I would be much like Peter. Lord, don't do this. Please don't do this. I'm not worthy of this. Please, please don't put me in that situation. And I can just imagine now the Lord washing my feet, how humbling that might have been. But our Lord vaunteth not up himself. He says, I came to serve. I came to serve others. I came to be a servant to you. Love is not unseemly. It says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He never spoke out of the way. He never opened his mouth like I have, and which sometimes I could just keep it shut. He never spoke out of turn. He never made jest or light of anyone. That's what that perfect love can do. Seeking not her own. Now, the father had a plan for the son. There was a determinate council before that the world was ever created, and I believe that was by the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I believe it was decided then and there what was going to take place. And I believe it was decided then and there who was to come to this earth and die for the sins of mankind. And I believe it was decided before the world was formed who the Savior was going to be. And I believe that it was decided by the Father that if His Son came to this world, fulfilled the will of the Father, did the meat of the Father, what the Father would have done, that He was going to heap upon Him, His Son, honor, glory, majesty. He should be above everybody, everywhere. The whole world would bow down to Him and give Him honor and glory and praise. But He did not come for His own. It's obvious the life that He had to live, that it was not for His own, but it was for you. It was for I. It was for this world. He did not seek His own pleasure. He did not seek His own well-being. He did not seek anything, as I've said earlier, of this world. But He did it all because of you and I. I truly believe that if I had been the only one lost, that He would have done the very same thing that He did. Because He laid upon Him the sins of the whole world, mine included. Every sin that I was, every sin that I am, and every sin that I shall be. People think that He just covered the sins of us prior to our salvation. Why, He covered them all. What kind of shape would we have been in? Well, I'd have been lost again before I got to the house. I didn't live about, but about a mile and a half away from church. I'd have never made it home. And people think that God saves them and then by works they've got to keep it for the rest of their life. That's about as silly as the doctrines I've ever heard. There is none righteous, no, not one. I was walking with a man one day in the woods. We was looking at some timber and some land, and he was a different faith of us. We got talking about it. He says, "I don't see it anymore." I said, "You don't?" I laughed under my breath. I didn't want him to see me laughing, but I thought it was funny. "No, I don't see it anymore." I wasn't saying, "Well, man, first off, you're a liar." I didn't. I just listened to him. He says, "I make mistakes, but I don't sin anymore." I wish I could get to the point I didn't sin anymore. I could back off on a lot of this repenting I'm doing. This repentance stuff gets old sometimes. But I've got to do it. I've got to do it because of sin. David was a man of God, a man after God's own heart. David sinned miserably. David did some wicked stuff. He lost the joy of his salvation, but he did not lose his salvation. He said, "Restore to me, Lord, the joy of it." I want you to know something. When the Lord saved my soul as a 10-year-old boy there on the floor at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, I knew the very instant that it happened. The Lord made me a promise that everything was all right. My sins, I weren't condemned with my sins anymore. And I felt happy and joy, and all that trouble just immediately just went away. It was amazing. I don't know what went with the fastest, the trouble or the joy that come in. Isaac got saved, and he's nearly eight. Like the month being eight. Nobody said anything to him. He come running to the altar and seeking the Lord. And he got up telling his family and around the church there at Antioch that the Lord saved his soul. He's about eight or nine got saved that night. One of the best services I've ever been in my life. Seemed like the Spirit of God was so strong and you could just reach out and grab hold of it. I looked out one time and I'd say there were 60 or 70 people shouting at one time. What a wonderful service that was. And Marisa set him down the next day and next morning, and just to be sure, want to be sure. You need to be sure. You need to feel like that your children are sure. You don't need to ask leading questions and you don't need to insinuate anything, but you want to feel settled and sure that everybody's all right. And she asked him, "What did it feel like when you got saved?" He says, "It felt like that I swallowed a peppermint and it landed right here and burst." Now that's how 7-year-old describes salvation. He says, "It felt like it burst and it went all over my body." He says, "Mom, I saw something that night." I'm not questioning anybody that saw something when they got saved. I didn't. But I believe God is able to manifest himself however that he wants to when he saves your soul. And he talked about this bright light and a man standing in it. I'm not going to tell his salvation. But it touched me. But I tell you what, the one thread, and I've got off, I'm running, I'm chasing rabbits again, I'm sorry. But the one thread that is with everyone that has ever been saved, I don't care if sights. I don't care if you heard a vision or saw a vision. I don't care if you think you heard a voice. But the one thing that is synonymous with everyone that's ever been saved, the trouble immediately leaves and the peace immediately comes in. Amen. I can tell you the time and I can take you to the place that happened. And it's very distinct. It is distinct with every one of us. And I want everyone here to know that. It's important that you know that. A person knows it when he's condemned. A person knows it when he's lost. Psalmist David said, the pains of hell got over me. I found trouble and I found sorrow. Then I called upon the Lord and the Lord heard me. Therefore, I'm going to call upon the Lord as long as I live. I can be in the basement and Reese can be an upper level up there. I can call her name. How do I know that she heard me? Logically, how do I know that she's listening to me? No matter how loud I cry out, how do I know when she has heard me? It's when she answers me back. That's the only way that you can know it. But the Lord answers us back. That's how I knew it. I called upon the Lord for a long time. And I didn't know that I had been saved. And I hadn't been saved because I hadn't heard Him. I hadn't heard from Him in that way. But immediately I heard Him. Not physically, but right here. I knew it. It was just as real to me, more real to me than you sitting down and talking to me across from a table. It was more real to me. And I mentioned before, maybe in this meeting, I knew that I had been saved by God's grace. I knew that He had led me to unite with the Lord's church. I knew when the Lord called me to preach. You say, how do you know? It's simple. The Lord tells you. It was the second Sunday in July, and we were members of Lafayette, and that was the Sunday of the revival at Antioch, and we were going to go out there and visit with them. During their meeting, we hadn't been out all week, and we were just going to visit that day. And about 8 o'clock, I got to feeling like I needed to go back to Lafayette, but we were members, and I didn't know why. I told Maurice, I said, let's go. We're going to Fayette. Well, I thought you wanted to go to Antioch. Family's all out there. We got to go to Fayette. We just got to go. We got in the car and headed out. There was a white dove sitting in the yard. I never seen the white dove before in the yard. I don't know if it had a thing in the world to do with it or not, but that dove looked at me. And I looked at that dove as we drove on to church. I'll never forget that. The first thing the preacher read was, woe is me if I preach not Scripture. Woe is me as a preacher if I preach not. And the Lord began to deal with me and work on me. And He wouldn't turn me loose. I knew it. I knew it, no doubt at all. I'm glad that God is able to talk with us. You know, He has always been able to talk with His people from Genesis to Revelation, a span of thousands of years, but in some way He has communicated with His people, whether they were in dreams or whether they were in visions. Are now the Spirit of God dwelling with exactly what we need to know when we need to know it. No doubt in my mind. Not easily provoked. Obviously, we can see that from his crucifixion and what all they did to him. That they tried to make him lose it. I was in eighth grade one time, and I wasn't much of a fighter. Well, I'd never done any fighting at all. And there was this bully. Any of you all kin to Benny Merritt? I guess I can tell it then. Benny Merritt was a thorn in my side. He's about the ugliest thing as a person that I've ever been around. And there for a while he made my life miserable. But I didn't lose it. I held my peace. And it was hard. One day on the playground it went too far and I lost it. And I grabbed him by the wrist and I throwed his hands up against the wall and I broke his watch. And he didn't have a whole lot I knew of this worldly goods. I felt so bad because I broke his watch. The next day I offered to buy him another watch. I seen right then that fighting wasn't for me. Got a BB gun and I went outside and I aimed it at a bird and I hit the bird. I threw the BB gun down and run in the house a-crying. I never aimed at another breathing thing again. I guess I'm just not into violence. Our Lord wasn't into violence, but they did all sort of violent things to Him. I no way comparing myself to my Lord, but I just wonder how our Lord would have dealt with Benny Merritt. He'd have been kind to him. He'd have been loving and gentle toward him. And he'd have helped him in every way that he could. Says, love thinketh no evil. And while they were doing all of these things to him, and they were nailing him to that top part of that cross, you would think at that moment that he would have had enough. You would think at that moment that this is it. I can't take anymore. I am so tired of all of this evil that's being done to me. What did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine the type of love that our Lord had for those Roman soldiers? Can you imagine what type of love our Lord had for those that were spitting upon him and hitting him? He felt nothing but pity for them. He felt nothing but love and compassion for them. And if they would have but come to him, he would have took them in his arms and laid them upon his breast and caressed their hair. Love, perfect love, hates iniquity. Now God does hate. He hates iniquity. And he hates sin. And it says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It says that love rejoices in the truth. He said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I am the truth and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. rejoiceth in the truth. For the truth is by the means of which we can come to the light. The truth is by which that will stand when this earth is on fire. The truth is which, in a way, that man will be judged on that great day of judgment. Love beareth all things. It says in Isaiah 53, the Lord hath laid upon us the iniquity of us all. He beareth all things. He is the greatest example of this chapter. Actually, he is the only true example of this chapter. No one can come close to standing with him on it. Love believeth all things. Our Lord said all things are possible to them that believeth. He says, you see that mountain there? If you have faith to believe that mountain, it can be moved into the sea. He knew that anything was possible with the Father. He knew that anything by faith was possible even with men. Never doubting anything. Hopeth all things. On the cross there, toward the end, he says, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He knew what he was safe with, and he knew who he was safe with. And he had told others, as Jonah was in the whale's belly for 3 days and three nights, so shall I be in the bowels of the earth. But I'm coming back. There was no doubt in my mind that if he gave his life, that he was coming back. Love endureth all things. It wasn't those spikes that kept him up there. It wasn't because that he was surrounded by Roman soldiers that kept him up there. It wasn't because of all of the Jews that were laughing and mocking that kept him up there. It wasn't because he was being made to be there. He was crucified on the day of the Passover, which was instituted hundreds of years before that day. It was the exact day, the exact hour that he was to be crucified. They did not kill him. He gave his life. And he was up there because of love. And when God has that kind of love, he can endure all things. And there is nothing that he cannot endure. And then he said, it is finished. He had endured it all. And because of love, he had won. And love never faileth. He arose. Love never faileth. He arose from the grave. He talked of the three: faith, hope, and love. But it says the greatest of these is love. When I step over on that shore, I won't need faith anymore. I won't need hope anymore. But that wonderful agape love of our Lord will fill that heavenly country. There won't be one place in it that you won't be able to feel it so overwhelmingly that it will humble you wherever that you're at there. It will be so over-encompassing in love that all doubt and fear will be gone, all pain and agony will be gone, all trouble and sorrow will be gone, and all tears will be wiped from our eyes. And we will witness God's love to its entirety and completeness. We know God loves us now, but we have no idea just how much that He does. That day we shall know. Greater love hath no man than this, than to give his life for his friend. Let's have a song. One of y'all willing to lead? Brother Dylan, let's have a song. Let's stand and sing. If there's anyone here that's lost, and if God is dealing with you, I want you to know something, that God is love, and God wants you to be saved, and that God is willing to save you today if you repent of your sins and believe with all of your heart. Let's stand and sing.
Page 97. Feel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you. List to His voice. Leave with Him your care. And begin life anew. Near and
good sermon today on the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's how God showed His love to us, each and every one of us. He did it in the form of His Son, Jesus. What a blessing that there's many of us here today that can understand that. We can know that. We can feel it. I'm thankful for that. There are those of you that are here today that are lost. I want you to consider your condition. Consider where you stand before God. I want you to listen to the Lord as the Lord deals with you. I'm going to extend this invitation today. I want to give you another opportunity that you might seek Him. There's been so much emphasis put on this week about, I think there's a great urgency in this world, in this day, in this time that we live in. There's an urgency. There's not a promise of tomorrow. There's not anything that is guaranteeing us. Take the time and the opportunity that the Lord has given you. Seek Him that you might be found. Time is precious. It don't seem that way when you're young, but the older you get, the more you understand just how precious time is. How short it is, how fast it goes by. Take this time that God's given you. As we have another song, if you're here today and lost, take the time and opportunity that God has given you, seeking that you might be found.
Page 155. The first and last verse. Page 155.
Ask me not, O gentle Savior. Do not pass me by.
say you believe in God, you can say you believe this or that. I think a lot of people do, but I can honestly say that the thread that's run through my life during times of doubt has been that I think feel God. And then you get the bulk of people, I believe, now in America would say it's crazy. Speaking of the sky, you're speaking of the clouds, crazy. But throughout my entire life, you know, services in church and out of church, there have been times when a feeling of knowledge has come on me and in my heart that was fulfilled, that I knew it was going to happen, that I couldn't explain. And I think the best example of that to someone who questions it or may question it is what is losing your balance? You can't define it. You can't say it. You can only feel it. You know when you've lost it. But you couldn't tell someone else what it's like to lose your balance until you've done it. You can only see the evidence of it, a kid falling off the bike. And it's the same with the Lord. And I think that's where the faith and the belief and the hope comes in there. Is there's no way I could ever speak words to another human and say, this is what salvation is like. This is what a burden from the Lord is like. This is what forgiveness is like. You just have to experience it. And that's where the faith is. That's the step. And that's how I know it. But the Lord has made it clear through my entire life, through trials and tribulations, He has said, here's a peace, everything's going to be fine. Here's a burden, this is something you need to do. Here's a burden, this is something you need to pray about. Right now I have a burden on my heart. And He's given that to me several times in my life. Where I knew something needed to be done, but it wasn't quite clear yet. It's like the end of Corinthians when it says we see through glass darkly. I don't know what this burden is about, but I have a burden today. And it's a strong burden. And it's a strong burden for the service. And it's a strong burden for somebody in the service, but the Lord hasn't made it clear to me what it is. But that may be on someone else. That may not be for me. All the Lord may be leading me to do is that we need to pray. So I just ask that we have all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All that can, will, let's gather here in the altar and have prayer. Ask the Lord what He'd have us to do. For the length of your list.
Our most kind and all thy gracious heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. This day, these blessings, we thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity that you've given us to come here today and to put ourselves together. Thank you, dear Lord, for this beautiful day that you have given us, dear Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, dear Lord, but yet be your burden to those that are lost. And I pray, dear God, we see one here today that's lost and uncovered. Dear Lord, that you would place a great burden upon me. Lord, that you would be underneath, that you would keep that burden upon their hearts, dear Lord. That they find peace in their life. They find peace from the troubled soul. Lord, I remember when I was a little boy and that burden you placed upon me. Lord, and I tried to run, but I couldn't, Lord, get away. I tried to find a place of rest and peace. But Lord, it eluded me, and I couldn't find anywhere, dear Lord, where you were intending on me. And I pray, dear God, that you would be like that with them as well. Lord, and I pray that they might be able to see the dangers in their life. Lord, we look at how many have perished just in this state. Just, Lord, in their vehicles, dear Lord, this year already. We see, dear Lord, just about the same. soul salvation. Lord, it's that simple, and we know that you make me feel that way, and I knew, Lord, exactly what I needed to be doing. And I pray, Lord, that you would deal with them in that manner, in that way, before it is too late. Lord, to see one of these go off into eternity without a hope of you, your Lord, would be so unbearable, dear God. And I pray that you would look over them today, dear Lord, and save their soul. That they might not have to get out of this cruel world anymore without a hope. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd be with us tonight. Be with Brother Barry. Lord, if it's thy will that he stays tonight, help him, give him liberty. Lord, I pray this meeting is not over. I pray, dear God, that you're still going to save souls. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would be with us in a mighty way. Every time that we come together, I pray, dear God, that you would be with this church. Brother Barry, be with him and help him grow and prosper. Lord, that they might be able to reach the people of this community and those around about this church that I'm sure need it so terribly bad. I pray, Lord, that you would open us, that you would show us more of what it is that you would have for us to do in our world, dear Lord. So much, Lord, for allowing our family to be here with us today. What a great blessing, Lord, that you have us to split. You have packed down and running over, dear Lord. Just a wonderful blessing, dear Lord, of the family that we have, the help that we have, that you watch over us, dear Lord. But I want to see everybody saved. And Lord, it's not complete, Lord, until they are.
Be another thought or request upon someone's heart.
Could we do the days of the week song one more time?
Let's see, why not?
It was on a Tuesday, somebody was on a Sunday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Sunday. Somebody touched me. It was on a Sunday. Somebody touched me. I know it was a hand of the Lord. It was on a great day. Somebody touched me. It was on a great day. Somebody touched me. It was on a great day. Somebody touched me. I know it was the hand of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. If you're here today and you're still seated, you need a day.
Amen.
You need a day. You need a day. Anything else on anyone's heart?
Brother Arnold, I'd like to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I'd like to thank the Lord that I have a spot for the
deacon. Amen.
And I've enjoyed this revival. I've enjoyed your presence very much. Good to hear Brother Slender again. Appreciate you standing in the big drama since you were here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I would have prayed for y'all to be here.
Amen. 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 Something on someone else's heart. I'll say also, we're so glad to see everybody that's here today. All you that are visiting with us, we hope you feel welcome and hope you'll come back.
Amen.
Feel welcome anytime you come. Certainly glad to see you. If you can at all, please come back tonight. Be with us tonight. Pray that the Lord would meet with us. Guide our service. All hearts and minds are free.
Brother R., I'd like to extend the invitations of the ladies of this group over here. The third Tuesday of every month, we have a fellowship downstairs. Just ladies. And we have been blessed with multi-women that came from a lot of different churches. And we have a good time. And the Lord has met with us, and He has blessed us. And I just want to extend a personal invitation for y'all to come back. We're not going to meet in July because of the revivals that are going on. But after that, it's the third Tuesday of the month at 6:30. Anytime. You can't come, pray for us.
Bless. Remember this. Anything else? Anyone might be seated. Please stand and we'll be dismissed. Brother Terry, would you dismiss us?
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for meeting with us this day. We thank you, Lord, for this message that we've heard. We ask you, Lord, to help us to carry it home with us and keep it in our hearts that it might have its effect. We'd ask you, Lord, to hear the many prayer requests that's been made today and in days past. Oh, Lord. Above all, Lord, we'd ask you to bring conviction upon the hearts of the lost that they might humble
Lord
themselves
help.
And find a place of salvation. We'd ask you, Lord, to watch over us and take care of us. Lord, we'd ask you to be with us until we meet again. Favor rest in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.